If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Malachi chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 6. Verse 6, Malachi 1, verse 6. A son honors his father, and servants their master. If then I am a father, where is the honor due me? And if I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord of hosts, to you, O priests, who despise my name. Chapter 2, verse 1. And now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse on you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them, because you do not lay it to heart. Verse 4. Know then that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may hold, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was a covenant of life and well-being, which I gave him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in integrity and uprightness, and he turned many iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts, but you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in your instruction. So one of the thing that I wanted to focus on in that first part of the reading is, obviously, there's a judgment that's being put on the priests, because they have left behind what their duty was, what they were supposed to do. But I would also like to start this by saying today to you that in the Old Testament, the priests were of the line of Levi, right? He talks about Levi here. In the New Testament, we are all a kingdom of priests. Okay, so you, me, we are all a kingdom of priests. So this is not just a call for clergy, although it certainly is a call for clergy. But this is a call for all of the kingdom of priests. And what he's saying here in Malachi is that the kingdom, this group of priests have left behind what they had learned, have left behind what they were supposed to do. And even though they were going through the motions, you can read all of Malachi and see, it's interesting. Even though they're going through the motions, God is cursing their efforts. And the reason that he's cursing their efforts, not just failing to listen to them, but actually cursing their efforts, is because they have given up. If you go through and read Malachi, you'll see there everything that we teach is that a lot of people don't teach is found in Malachi. Incense, why we burn incense is found in Malachi. Yay! Everybody says yay that loves incense. Guess what else is in Malachi? Tithing. One of the reasons why God talks about cursing is because they're failing in the tithe, people. This is the whole rob God part. I mean, we're not going to get into that. That's not what we're talking about today. But this is here. Go and read Malachi this week, later today if you want. But read Malachi for what we're talking about today. I'm skipping because what I'm skipping is all of the things that God says is why, how they're missing him. You can read that. But understand that the point here today is that he's talking to priests who've been missing him, and he's telling them how that they're missing him. And in chapter 3, there's hope. Chapter 3, verse 1. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Some translations say, or present right offerings to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers in their wages, the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the alien, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, have not perished. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Now turn with me to Isaiah, chapter 61, beginning with verse 1. Isaiah 61, 1. This is from today. This is one of the readings. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Verse 8, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. One of the things that I believe that has hampered us, and is definitely the thing that it was hampering the priests in Malachi, and what was pointed out in Malachi, was that for Levi to do the works of the Lord, what was required? Do you remember? This requires reverence. In Malachi, he goes through, this is what the priest of the Lord, Levi, was doing in right standing with God. And it says, Levi did this, and this required reverence. I'm going to read that again, actually. Malachi 2:4. Know then that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may hold, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was a covenant of life and well-being, which I gave him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. What do we need to do as the kingdom of priests that serve our God? What do we need to start with? Well, right here, what we need to start with is reverence. Now, there's a lot of reverence that's lacking in the church today, especially in the church in the West, because many have completely abandoned all things that are traditional because it's traditional. Now, this has happened because folks that were raised in traditional settings, but in those settings, in those places, the tradition may have been dead, became dead tradition, it wasn't living. And so what they have done is they rejected it because the tradition itself was dead where they were, and so they rejected all of this. They rejected all of the tradition. That's throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Not all tradition is dead. Tradition is dead if you kill it. How do you kill it? By not paying attention to what it's telling you and by not living in it, by not living in reverence of it. I want to do something again here that we've done before. I'm going to start something and I want you all to finish, okay? Jesus said, the first commandment is this. The Lord your God, the Lord is one. All right, now say it with me in unity. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Shall love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. You all have never actually stood up here and read those words. That is something that only the deacon of the word always does here in our services. So you all, unless you're a deacon, you've never done anything but listen to what's being told to you in your ear. But now you're able to repeat this back. Okay? This is tradition. This is part of what the liturgy is. Liturgy means the work of the people. What we're doing here is the same thing in the church that we do with our own children. I will not pull Tammy's hair. I will not pull Tammy's hair. I will not pull Tammy's hair 500 times. Children learn by repetition. I cannot tell you how many times, just my own testimony in my own life, when things have happened to me or when things are going on in my life and I'm crying out to God and suddenly there's this quote that pops up in my head. God shows me. Has this ever happened to any of you?
Yeah.
Okay. Seriously. There is good in this. Raise your children up in the way that they should go. When they get older, they will not depart from it. My absolute favorite thing to do on Sundays, no offense to all of you grown-ups, my absolute favorite thing to do on Sundays is to go over there and do communion with the kids. If you've ever done it, it's the best thing we do. It's just amazing. And they're like this big, and they're reciting the prayers verbatim without really understanding them, obviously, right? But don't we do the same thing? How many times have you recited something over and over and over and over, and then one day it hits you? Like, oh. And how old were you when that happened? 51, last time that happened to me. I'm 51, by the way. It's not rare. Why do we expect it to be any different for us than we expect it to be for our children when we are being told by Christ, become like one of these? We are being called to a reverence that is rare. We're being called to a reverence that called for the coming of Christ to fix it. Think about that for a second. This lack of reverence, this lack of piety, solemnity, this lack that the priests had was the reason why he sent the Savior. We have that same lack now in this world, in the church. We have the same lack in our lives all the time. I do. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Now, here's the problem, though, for me. The problem is that my righteousness is as filthy rags. The problem is that no matter what I want to do, I wind up not doing it. And when I don't want to do, I wind up doing it. And I find myself in the same place as these people here, where I am simply not capable within myself to do, to be reverent, to be pious, to be solemn, to be humble. The scripture that we read before says that in Isaiah was that Jesus is coming. This was a Savior that was prophesied to show us the way of how he would change the world I was watching an interview with Dave Shapiro the other day, and Dave Shapiro is a Jew, but he thinks that the whole Jesus thing is dumb. He just thinks he was just another revolutionary. He existed, but it was just another revolutionary, and that from Dave Shapiro's point of view, that the Jews are still looking for the same thing they've always been looking for, which is a political leader to raise up in the eye of the public, in the eye of all, and exalt Israel. The same thing that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and they all missed, and the reason they crucified him and they didn't believe him and they called him a blasphemer, is because he was calling himself the Son of God and telling everybody exactly what to do, and it was so ridiculous, it didn't make any sense, that they crucified him for it. And what did he say? Well, among other things, this is what he tells the people, that how they are supposed to be. Matthew 5, verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Yes. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works, and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished." The example that Jesus set was so radical and made so little sense that people then and people now just blow it off because it makes no sense. How is it possible that the meek shall inherit the earth? How is it possible that the poor in spirit shall inherit the earth? How is it possible that all of these things are what Jesus said brings you blessing? Blessing from who? Whom? Who? Who? Blessing from who? God. Okay. Just making sure. We are not supposed to care about the blessings of the world. And yet we judge success, we judge everything based on the blessings of the world. And yet the one that we're supposed to follow, the one that we're supposed to emulate, our Savior, the first among the dead to be raised, the firstborn, the one that we're supposed to follow, our King. We have often no desire to follow in His steps. Because why would I turn the other cheek when I know how to punch? Why would I give my spare tunic? I only have two. Everything that Jesus taught, the way that He taught us to live, the way that He showed us, is absolutely impossible without Him. Do you understand that? We aren't coming here to get clean. We were made clean. We do have sin that keeps bubbling up in us. I do. That is this whole idea that of sanctification that the Bible talks about, this holiness, is that we were made holy. When God looks at us, He sees His Son and what His Son did for us. We were bought with a price. That ransom was paid. We are alive and saved. And yet we still struggle. And the reason we struggle is because I believe, I'll say this in my life, the reason that we struggle is because we fail to give him the proper reverence and to give him the proper time, and we make too many excuses for it. This is not a tithing sermon. I'm going to use it as an example. But I've talked to many, many people before when they talk about tithing, and they'll say, like, well, I think that tithing is a lot. You can tithe your time. Cool. Show me in the scripture where it says, bring your time into the storehouse. Because what it says about your time, it says pray without ceasing. That means all the time. So how are you tithing your time when you're supposed to be praying without ceasing? What's a tenth of praying without ceasing? If you become a priest, or if you're ordained in our communion, you're required to tithe. It's part of your vow. And the reason it's because it's part of your vow is not because you're being made to do something that not everybody else is supposed to do. You're actually being made to do something that everybody else is supposed to do. And the reason why you're being made to do it as clergy is so that you can set an example. Because if you don't do it, then you fail to receive the blessings. And that's not just tithe, folks. That's forgiveness. Forgive so that you may be forgiven. Forgive because if you don't, that's where your forgiveness is. The Bible talks all the time about forgive so that your sins may be forgiven. When it talks about the refiner, that what we read about the refiner, the silver being refined, you know how, we've talked about this a long time ago now, a few years ago now. Do you know how somebody who is refining silver knows when it's ready? They can see the reflection in it. You are the silver that the Lord is refining. It is not comfortable, but it is free. Because what happens when God refines silver is that he heats up and boils out everything that doesn't belong. And everything that doesn't belong is everything that isn't Jesus. You hear me? He who loses his life for my sake will find it. That day when Jesus looks into you and says, there you are. It is you that he wants. It is you that he wants. And he wants to see himself in you. And he wants you to see yourself in him. One of the hardest people to forgive is me. And what happens is when you do get into that place where you're seeking him and you are truly seeking to pray without ceasing and you're truly seeking to spend that time and put all of those idiotic things of the world aside. And by the way, they're all idiotic. Everything that has to do with the world is going to burn away. Including everything in you. Everything that is about the world is going to burn away, including the world, according to Scripture. And everything that's left is going to be what Jesus has burned away to keep. He's going to burn all of that stuff away. I can promise you, when you get to that place where you begin to get reverent and you begin to seek that piety, which is what he is calling us to do, when you begin to get to that place, the thing that will become the most obvious to you in your own life is your own slag. The first thing that will happen that will become obvious is your own slag. The second thing that will happen is that because you see your own slag, you will also see slag in everyone else. And if you're following Christ, what happens is, if you see that slag in other people, the response is not, look at that speck, or look at that log in your eye, look at that speck in your eye. The proper response is always mercy. Why? Because you're no better. I'm no better. There is only one judge. We'll sit before him, but he ain't us. Please turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. What time is it? 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to start with verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then suddenly destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another to build each other up, as indeed you are doing. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord, and admonish you, esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. One of the other versions says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. I love that. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the... We'll do this. Let me encourage with that last verse. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Just rest in the reverence. Just rest in the promises. We have so many promises given to us that we continue to doubt when we see what's in front of us. It just doesn't make any sense. But I promise you this, nobody saw how Jericho was going to fall except God, especially not the Jerichoans. That's what, I don't know what they called themselves back then. They're all dead. Jerichoites, I don't know what they were. Nobody saw that coming, how that was going to happen. And the God of the Israelites did it. He knocked the walls down. It was God that did it. It wasn't, all they did was worship and do what he said. They worshiped and walked. Speaking of promises, this is the last scripture. Speaking of the promises, I'm going to end with our psalm today, Psalm 126. Psalm 126 here is called a song of ascents. Ascents as in ascending. This is your promise. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. From this time, I'm sorry, that's 125. From this time on, I'm going to read that one anyway because it's I like it. From this time on and forevermore, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, so that the righteous might not stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their own crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. I'm glad I went to 125. I am going to read 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. It is not easy. It is not easy to lay down those things that our sinful self wants to keep holding on to. That's why for slag to get boiled out of silver, it has to be heated up really, really hot. Because what's there until it is heated up, the slag and the silver, they're all the same. You don't know what's different. You won't be able to tell in yourself what is slag and what is silver until you get in the fire. And that's a good thing. And once you get in the fire, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, once you get in the fire, you will find that the Lord is in there with you. Even though you make your bed in hell, there I am. The prodigal son, when he was living with the pigs and eating the pig slop and living in mud, was in the wrong. The older brother, when he came home and was upset at the father for bringing him back, was in the wrong. The only one in the right in all of those stories, in all of that story, is the father. We identify with the sons all the time. God wants us to identify with the father. It's so amazing to me that today we have these cards going out. When this message is coming today. Because if I can promise you, if there's somebody that comes back that's hurt you, your response should be, he's here, he's back. It should be the voice of the father, not the older brother. So please, with me, and pray for me, a sinner, with me, present yourself with reverence as living sacrifices to God. There's a song that says, if all of you means all of me, take everything. That's a great song. Because that is what Jesus said. Those of you who lose your lives for my sake will find it. That means giving up, letting go of everything that you have decided to hang on to that is slag. Amen? Please stand.